Book of Luke, chapter 7, verse 35.
But wisdom is justified of all her children.
But the wisdom is justified of all her children. You will not understand why this scripture is here. But the last week we learned, John the Baptist sent his two of his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one, or we should look for another?" And then Jesus did signs and wonders and miracles and told John's disciples, "Go back and tell the John what you saw and what you heard." And they went to tell the John the Baptist. Then Jesus Christ started looking at people and he said, "Many people did not listen to the John the Baptist." He said, "Those people are just like," then he gave the example, "the children played the beautiful music and nobody danced or nobody was happy. Then they played sad music, the people should weep and cry, and nobody even paid attention to those things." Then he said, "The John the Baptist came, he did not eat the regular food or didn't drink the wine, and you said to him, 'You have a devil.' Then he said, 'The Son of Man is come eating and drinking.' And he said, 'Behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber and a friend of publicans and sinners.'" So what he was trying to say, you people do not know the difference. He says, "You calling me sinner. John the Baptist, you calling, he has a devil." And many times they call Jesus also, "You have a Beelzebul." And that's the reason he used this verse, Luke chapter 7, verse 35. Then he said, "But the wisdom is justified of all her children." What he's trying to say, you do not have the wisdom to understand. You do not have the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, please read.
"The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction."
See, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom, but the fool despises the wisdom and the instructions. So he's trying to say, indirectly, you are fools. You don't have the wisdom. You don't understand what I was trying to say or what the John the Baptist is trying to say. You didn't understand anything. I read the book of Psalms, chapter 14, verses 1 to 3.
"The fool hath said in his heart, 'There is no God.' They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one."
The fool says there is no God. And he says when God sees from heaven, there is no righteous man. And that's why Jesus Christ came into this world. If you read the book of Romans chapter 3 and start reading from verse 10 to 25.
"As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus."
So here the word of God is saying, we were sinners without God, doing everything foolishly, not seeking for God, but God sent his Son. And because of Jesus Christ, now we are righteous. And because of Jesus Christ, our spiritual eyes open once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You receive all the wisdom, all the grace, and everything what God has. Go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and start reading from verse 26.
For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
The word of God says, without God or without Christ in this world, we are nothing. But God says he has chosen us in Jesus Christ. We were yet sinners. Jesus Christ died for us. Because of Christ, we got the wisdom of God. We got the knowledge of God, we got the power of God, we got the redemption from God, and now we are godly people. And so Jesus Christ was saying, wisdom is justified of all her children. That means if you are a child of God, you will have wisdom of God and you will understand the godly things. But he says you do not understand the things of God because you are not having the wisdom of God. Now let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 7, verse 36. Now this is a different paragraph starts from.
And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat.
Jesus Christ is talking about Pharisees do not understand, do not have wisdom, do not understand the plan of God, did not take the water baptism, they did not justify God, and all of these things he talked in front of these people. And then one Pharisee trying to see if Jesus Christ can come to his house for dinner. So when you fight with somebody, you don't feel like going to their house to eat. But this Pharisee is inviting Jesus Christ. Would you like to come to my house for dinner or lunch or whatever? And Jesus did not say, I'm not coming. He went with him. And we don't know what was the plan and what these Pharisees was thinking. But you will know from this paragraph. Pharisees have a desire that Jesus Christ should come and eat with him. And Jesus Christ went to Pharisee's house, and he sat there to eat. And see what happened. Verse 37.
And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment.
Jesus Christ sitting at the table, Jesus did not see that lady, but the Pharisee saw that lady. Now, I was just thinking, if you invite somebody for a dinner or lunch, only invited people come to your house. How come this lady was not invited and she comes with a perfume, expensive perfume, and she comes with a back door or wherever she comes, but Jesus did not see the lady. Let's read further.
And stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment.
Now here we see Jesus Christ is eating, or maybe starting to eat, because he said they sat at meat. And so this lady comes behind him and pour the perfume not on his head, but pour the perfume on his feet. That's why when we see there are couple of examples in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, and John talks about one lady comes and breaks the very expensive perfume bottle and pours on Jesus' head. That is also, you can read in John chapter 12, but we don't have time. In the John's chapter 12, the lady comes and pours the very costly perfume on Jesus' head. And all the disciples, including Judas, were saying, why this costly perfume is wasted? But this paragraph or this story, Judas is not saying anything, no disciple saying anything about the costly perfume, but the Pharisee is talking here. So from that, this story and the other story is not the same. Now, this story is in the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And John's Gospel, chapter 12 story, is of the end of his ministry. That's why Jesus Christ says, leave her alone, she did it for my burial. But this story is different. This lady comes, pours the oil on his feet, opens her hair, and start wiping his feet, and start kissing his feet, and wiping his feet with her tears. Now, when this man is seeing all these things, and got offended. Now, I was thinking, why in the world this man allowed this lady to come in the first place? You invited Jesus Christ, and there might be somebody at the door. The only invited person should come. Uninvited person should be stopped right there. But they did not stop that lady. This lady is not an ordinary lady. She is a sinner, means she is a prostitute, a bad person, and she might be well known. So all of a sudden, when she comes, this Pharisee was thinking, we want to see what Jesus Christ is going to do. And even though she came and she start wiping his feet with the tears and putting very costly perfume on his feet, Jesus didn't say anything. But this Pharisee start thinking something bad in his mind. Verse 39.
Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner.
Now this man is thinking in his mind. He doesn't have a courage to ask Jesus, why you are allowing this sinner to touch you? And he's having bombarded thoughts in his mind. He's thinking, I invited this man as a prophet. Is he prophet, really? Because few minutes ago, John the Baptist sent some two people to ask him, are you the one or we should look for another? And now the same thought coming to this man's heart, I invited this man as a prophet so he could come and bless my home. But I don't think this man is a prophet. So he started thinking all these things in his mind, did not have any courage to talk to Jesus Christ. But see what happened, what Jesus Christ said. Verse 40.
And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on.
Jesus Christ says, Simon, I would like to say something. Now he might be thinking something good he's going to say. He came to my house, and so he might be saying, oh, food is very delicious. Thank you very much for inviting me. Or something good he's going to say. So, because he didn't say anything to Jesus, so he was just thinking bad thing about Jesus. He might be thinking, Jesus doesn't know what I'm thinking. But Jesus is saying, Simon, I would like to say something to you. So he says, go ahead, say something. Please read. Verse 41.
There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he, to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged.
Now, When he asked the question to him, the Pharisees, he gave him a parable, or maybe one example. There were two debtors. One was forgiven 500, and one was forgiven less, maybe 50 or so. And so he says, which man will have more love for that person? So he said, the more is forgiven, the more person will love. He said, you said it right. So in short, what he's trying to say, now this man might be thinking, why Jesus Christ gave me this example? Because I was thinking something wrong in my heart. What he was thinking, she is a sinner, she's touching Jesus, and he doesn't say anything to her. And so Jesus Christ gave him an example. Then he understood, Jesus knows my heart. You don't have to tell Jesus anything about you. He knows everything about you. He knows your desires. He knows what you want. And he knows what you're thinking about. That's why Jesus Christ, we call him God. If he is not God, he cannot understand your things. This lady is much more sinner than you. You think you are righteous, you are a good man. He's not saying you are a bad person. You are better than her. She is a street woman. She is a sinner. But she found out somehow Jesus Christ is coming, and she was watching, and she followed him, and she came to him. Only one desire she had, to let Jesus know that I love you, Jesus. How this lady come to know? Because some people said that maybe the same prostitute came back. That prostitute was, Jesus Christ already told her, if nobody made you guilty, I'm not saying you're guilty, go home and sin no more. So that thing was already over. That lady was not sinner anymore. She was not prostitute anymore. So that's not the same lady came. And some people say this is the same lady who anointed Jesus Christ in the last time, and that was the Mary, Martha's sister, and Lazarus' sister. That is not the same lady which we are seeing in Luke chapter 7. This lady in book of Luke chapter 7 is prostitute. She is a sinner. And Mary, Martha, and Lazarus never said that Mary was a bad person. But some people may think that Mary might be same one anointed Jesus Christ. That time she was a sinner. She might be prostitute. And now she became good and became friendly. And now she invited Jesus Christ again. And she did anoint his head again. Might be true. But this lady is not the same prostitute. And some people say this lady might be a Mary Magdalene. Because Mary Magdalene also loved Jesus. She followed him. Even when Jesus Christ was risen, she was the first one to see him. So the people thinking, this prostitute, this sinner, has to be Mary Magdalene. But we will know a little bit further, this was not Mary Magdalene also. Because the Mary Magdalene was not famous for the prostitute. She was famous for the seven demons were cast out. And so this is not the same lady. And Jesus Christ wants to clarify, you are inviting me, but you are not loving me the way this lady loved me. Let's read verse 44.
And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head.
In those days there was a custom. When somebody invites you to their house, you wash their feet. Or at least keep the water outside to wash their feet. And when they come in, give them kiss and anoint their head with oil or do something to show that we respect you. We love you that you came to our house. But he says, you do not do anything what this lady has done. He says, this lady, since I came in, she start washing my feet with her tears and wiping my feet with her hair and anointing my feet. But he says, you did not do anything of like this. He did not give him water to wash his feet. He did not kiss him, or he did not give oil for his head. In India, in Hindu custom, when the elderly person comes to their house, those ladies in the house, they will bow down and kiss their feet. They are doing today, even the 21st century. And so the Jesus Christ is saying, see what this lady is doing since I came. Verse 45.
Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment.
See, now here also Jesus recognized and said, this lady anointed my feet. So Jesus didn't say she anointed my head. He said she anointed my feet. This lady was not thinking, I'm even worthy to just anoint his head or kiss him on his cheek. She said, I'm not worthy. I'm just going to wash his feet, and I'm just going to clean his feet with my tears, and I'm just going to kiss his feet. So she was so humble. And see, he said, when I came to your house, you did not wash my feet. So that means his feet were still dirty. And that lady didn't care. He was not wearing shoes and socks like we do. They walk on dirty road and dusty road. So she has to wipe out everything and with her tears and clean his feet with her hair. So he is saying, see what this lady is doing. She is kissing my feet and she is anointing my feet, but you did not do what this lady was doing. Verse 47.
Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little.
The lady is more sinner, and her sins are forgiven, so she is loving me more. And you think that you do not have sin, so you loved me less. But when you love God, the word of God says, how do you love? Less or more? He says, when you love in God, you love with your whole heart. Don't keep anything less. When we loving Jesus, we loving from our own whole heart. You cannot follow the Lord and follow the devil at the same time. You have to reject the devil and follow the Christ. But some people, they are born again. They claim themselves Christian, but they do not give up the worldly thing. Do not do what the worldly people do. Means they use foul language, they drink, they smoke, they fight, they gamble, and they all kinds of sinful activity. That is not the sign of the child of God. When Jesus called us and we followed Christ, when we receive Jesus Christ, the devil has to go out. We cannot keep the devil in and at the same time Christ in. Christ will not come in until the devil is out. Some people said, I'm born again. I said, sir, if you are born again, then what? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. What it says? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things became new. That means, once we are in Christ, the old things should pass away. And somebody says, well, those things are built in my life and I'm doing this for many, many years. But I guarantee you, once you are in Christ, slowly but surely you're going to change. But some people do not want to change. But that's not the Christian habit. Once you receive Jesus Christ, then our life is going to transform. Why we have to do this? Somebody says, why can't we blend with the unbelievers? Why cannot we do the things like unbelievers and be a Christian the same time? If you start doing that, what would happen? Nobody will know you are a Christian. You will not have any good witness, and you will be not able to win souls for Christ. So we have to say to somebody, I was a sinner, but when Jesus Christ saved me, I'm changed. I was a sick, Jesus healed me, and now I can tell you Jesus is a healer. So we have to have a testimony. If you don't have a testimony, then we cannot bring other people to Christ. Jesus Christ has changed us to reflect the light. We are living among the sinful people, so we are going to shine, and the people are going to say, why your life is different than ours? Then we have a testimony. Jesus Christ changed my life. You see people sick, people complaining, people were having problems. You're supposed to say, wait a minute, let me tell you, I had the same problem like you. Jesus Christ changed me. He saved me. He delivered me. He set me free. But what happens? We just ignore. People say something in front of you, or they having some problems, and we are not telling anything anybody, so we are not going to save anybody. So we want to save somebody, then we should be saved. We want to say something good about to somebody, then we should be good. That's what last week we learned. If you have a big log in your eyes, you cannot take somebody's dust from their eyes. So we have to transform ourselves, then we can tell somebody else. And last week we learned, even the John the Baptist gave witness about Jesus Christ and said everything good about him. And then all of a sudden, he started thinking, if Jesus Christ is the Savior and he is the deliverer, why am I in the prison? And then all thoughts start coming. And then he almost backslidden. That's what some Christian people say. Okay, I am going to church. I thought if I go to church, I will have a good job. When I go to church, I will have financial blessing. When I go to church, everything will be dandy. And I went to church. I gave my tithe for 5 years, and nothing happened. So there is no use of going to church. And so the people slowly, slowly go away from the Lord. And Jesus Christ gave the example. Those are the people like sower sows the seed, and some seeds falls on the pathway. And what? The bird comes. That's open ground, so take it away. The bird is the devil. Devil doesn't want the word of God growing in your life. As soon as you hear the word of God, devil try to take those words away. And then he gives another example. There are seeds fell on a rocky ground. Now the rocky ground has a little bit mud on it, but when the seeds falls, they come up faster than the other seed which put it in a deeper ground. But at the same time, what happens? Some problem comes, and that seed dies away because there is no deeper ground. Other day I was talking to somebody, and I said, one person came and very joyful, and following weeks I didn't see. The man said, oh, he's on the rocky ground. So the point I'm making, once you are sowed in the rocky ground, you are so excited, I'm born again, I'm saved, and joyful. But some trouble comes, some problem comes, and you go back. And so same as some Christians, they have troubles and problems comes in their life. They lose the job. They don't have money to put it in an offering. They said, I'm not going to go to church. And so some people are sown in the good ground, and they give 30, 60, 100-fold fruit. So the point I'm making, we are planted in this very solid ground. And so when we are rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus, the storms will come, the trouble will come, the problem will come, but we will not be shaken by the winds of doctrine or the devil's problem. We will be strong in the Lord. Even the John the Baptist, as I was saying, the man who was testifying about Jesus Christ, when something came about, he started thinking about his flesh, thinking about his problem, and his problem started growing more and more, and that's why he doubted about Jesus Christ. So when problem comes, what do you do? Don't look at your problem, looking unto Jesus. And Jesus we glorify, then your problem will be over. So here, we see this lady came crying and weeping with tears. She started wiping his feet and kissing his feet. Jesus didn't say anything yet to this lady. He was just arguing with this man, and the lady didn't run away. She didn't say, hey, these people are fighting about me. I'm getting out of here. She didn't care what the Pharisee was saying until Jesus tells me you are forgiven or you go in peace. She didn't go. This lady didn't go anywhere. She was just waiting to get the blessing from God. We don't have to give up God's blessing because somebody's saying, oh, you are a phony Christian and you go to church and you are not changed. So I say, oh, that means I'm not going to go to church because somebody says something bad about me. We go to church no matter who says what. I'm going to love the Lord no matter what other people says about me. I'm going to follow the Lord. That's what this lady was doing. She's not listening to anybody. She wants to serve the Lord. She wants to please Jesus Christ. And that's what she was doing. Let's go back to the Luke chapter 7, verse 48.
And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also?
Last time we learned, when they brought one paralyzed man, when Jesus Christ was in one house, and one paralyzed man, they went to the top of the house and opened the tiles and put that man in front of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said to this man, your sins are forgiven. And all of a sudden, all the people start saying, who is this guy? Who gave him the authority to say, your sins are forgiven? Then he asked the question to those people, which is easy? To say to this man, your sins are forgiven, or tell this man, pick up your bed and walk? Which is easy? They didn't say anything. Then Jesus Christ said to this man, pick up your bed and walk. And he walked, and those people didn't say anything, but he said, you should know the Son of Man has power to forgive the sins. Now, same thing happened here. Jesus Christ says, your sins are forgiven. And they start thinking, who is this person? Does he have a power to forgive sins? But Jesus Christ did not answer to these people anything because he said it many, many times. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He has power to forgive sins. He has power to raise people from the grave. And many signs and wonders Jesus Christ did. But we learn from this, Jesus Christ, sometimes he will tell the people right away, and sometimes he ignores. Now here he didn't say anything to those people, what they were saying. God has given us the wisdom. That's what the Word of God says. If you have the wisdom of God, you will know how to handle your situation. You have to have a wisdom of God. We have to have power of God. We have to have knowledge of God. How will you get it? When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so Jesus Christ is the one who gives us everything liberally. Let's read last words.
And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace.
Now here in this chapter he says, or this verse he says, your faith has saved you. That means this lady, she came to Jesus by faith. She had a faith, if I go to Jesus, and if I even touch his feet, he will notice that I am a sinner and I came by faith to Jesus Christ so he can forgive my sins. That's why he says, your faith has saved you. And many times he said, your faith has healed you. So faith can save you, faith can heal you, and faith can deliver you from your problems. So what you need faith in God. When you have faith in God, problems will be there, but we can conquer all the problems by faith. When we have faith in Jesus Christ, we can move the mountains. Let's read that verse. Book of Mark, chapter 11, and start reading from verse 22.
And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God.
See, first of all, he says, have faith in God. And then he gives an example.
For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
If you have faith in God, then when you start praying or saying anything, then you will not have any doubt. When you say, Lord, give me the job, and you pray and say, amen, you should say, thank you, Jesus, I got my job. That's what he's saying. Or if you have some sickness and you prayed for that sickness to be healed and you prayed and said amen, you say, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. Even though you don't see healing done, but he says when you stand and you pray, you believe it and you believe that whatever you said is done. Read for following.
Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them.
See, even the some desire you have in your mind, I want this. And you, before you could pray, the word of God says, whatever desire I have, he will give it to me. And it will be done. Psalm 37, 4, 5, and 6. If you read, it says,
delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart.
You delight in the Lord. You love the Lord. You have faith in God. And then your desires will be fulfilled. People are saying, I want this, I want that. He said, do you love the Lord? Do you believe in God? Do you trust in God? If you want something to happen, it cannot happen because you really desire it. You have to love the Lord, have faith in God. Then whatever you want, you will get it. Let's read two more verses.
Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass.
Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That means if you prayed, you trust in God, he is the one going to do it. And I believe there is nothing impossible with God. And that's the kind of mindset you have in your mind. It will be done. People are saying, I prayed and nothing happens. Because the word of God says in the book of James, you are like a double-minded person. How can you get it from the Lord? You have to have a sound mind and sound faith in God. Then you can get your things done. Let's go back to the book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 25.
And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses.
Then he said, when you coming to asking something, God is going to give it to you. But you should have a forgiving heart. Now see, this lady came here to Jesus Christ. And all these Pharisees saying bad about her. She's a prostitute. She could get up and say, hey, why are you telling me these things? How do you know I'm a sinner? Did you see me commit any sin? She did not argue. She just kept quiet, thinking, I don't have to defend myself. Jesus Christ already forgiven her. Sometimes when you are not guilty and people trying to make you guilty, you get more angry. Why are you saying this? I'm not even guilty of this. And they want to fight. Even though this lady was guilty or not guilty, she did not fight with anybody. She just kept on doing what she was doing and she got blessed. We have to trust in God, love God, follow the Lord, no matter what a person says about us. In Matthew chapter 5, please read 10 to 12. When we're doing something good, somebody will say something bad and accuse you for nothing.
Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
What he's trying to say, you are blessed when the people are persecuting you for the righteousness' sake. That means if you are doing something good for the Lord, doing something spiritual, people do not like you. They will persecute you for nothing because you are a Christian. But when you go to church, when you become a spiritual, they're going to find more fault in you. And then the people who are doing all the time sin, they don't care about them. Verse 11.
Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake.
See, when you are blessed, not because you are winning the argument, you are blessed because people are saying something falsely against you. That means you didn't do anything and people are saying something bad. And so sometimes people are saying, I want to see something to this man and see what he says. But if you are a Christian, the word of God says, who is my servant who hears but who hears not? He sees but he sees not. That means sometimes you have to ignore the things. You cannot fight to defend yourself all the time. God is our defender. He will take care of us. Verse 12.
Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
Why are you rejoicing? He said rejoice. Why? Because they are persecuting you, they are saying something falsely, and so you rejoice. Sometimes you have to say, thank God, because I'm a Christian, I can take this kind of abuse. If I was not a Christian, I would have punched that person. I would have kicked that person. But thank God I'm a Christian. My hands are crucified. I am not going to fight. I'm not going to kick around because they are saying something falsely. Jesus Christ didn't do anything and they crucified him. And so we are his children and we are going to learn if the people say anything falsely, if they accuse us, we are not going to say anything because our reward is great in heaven. Shall we rise? And let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are watching over us. Our God never sleeps. Our God never slumbers. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to believe Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. There are many people dying without God and without Christ. Give us grace not to argue and not to fight with them, but give them a good example that we are a followers of Christ. And we want to help them because they don't know what they're doing. Lord Jesus, give us grace to win souls for Christ. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.